Do Re Mi, the Unfinished Symphony of Nymphodora Tonks, written by Atticus, read by Jenrin. She's beautiful, Ted said, staring down at his new baby daughter. Absolutely beautiful. I named her while you were gone, Andromeda said, a smirk on her face. Ted held his breath. Alexandra? Nymphodora. And Ted crinkled his nose. You named our daughter after sex? Andromeda looked horrified. No, gift of the nymphs. Sex gift. You named our daughter sex gift. Do I even want to know what her middle name is? Theodra. She paused. I take on Theodora. Her name is gift of the nymphs and gift of God. Ted nodded. Okay, that's not so bad. At least she's not a boy. Could you imagine a little boy growing up as sex gift? At least we'll call her Dora, and that will be that. Dora, this is important, Andromeda said softly. You know how you can change yourself? 5-year-old Dora nodded. Why are there so many people in robes around? Andromeda swallowed. They're here to help us stay safe during the war. It's important, but we need you to do something first, sweetie.
What?
Change yourself.
Change myself? Why?
You know how you were the neighbor boy once?
Daddy said I could never do that again.
Andromeda nodded.
I know, but you know how there's a war going on?
Dora nodded. You and Daddy are in hiding, and are scared someone's going to come get me because you're a black.
Ted, who had been listening, breathed a sigh of relief. Children were unnaturally perceptive at times.
Your daddy and I, we need you to change, like you did, into the neighbor boy, and...
Andromeda closed her eyes.
You need not to turn back into Dora unless...
Andromeda, Albus Dumbledore interrupted, we conceal the appearance. He knelt down next to the little girl. For a while, Dory, you're not going to be changing.
Dora, the stubborn girl insisted.
And why?
Dumbledore took her gently by the arms. You're going to look like the neighbor boy. You have to have a name to match.
Her lower lip trembled, but she insisted, why?
Ted had been watching the scene with a bit lip. He didn't like what he was being asked to put his daughter through. He still thought it would be easier to seal her appearance and disappear into the Muggle world, let the child keep her name. But they were going to seal her as a boy, and ask them all to live in the Muggle world, a world Ted moved through with ease, having worked in it. He was about to take an indefinite vacation, however, and a new job, not in entertainment at all. He would no longer be working for a news company. A painter, that was what Albus had made him settle for. He didn't mind the manual labour, and the pay was good. Andromeda, a healer, was now going into office work at a hospital. And his precious Nymphodora, the name had grown on him, was going to be Nymphodori, a black-haired, blue-eyed little boy. What, psychologically, was that going to do to her? And for who knew how long? Albus had said he didn't see it ending within the decade. That was at least 2.5 years. When his daughter started crying, he swooped in, picking the girl up. You, he whispered to her softly, will always be my Dora. And sometime, hopefully really soon, you'll get to be Dora again. But for me and for Mum and for you, so that you'll stay safe and don't get hurt, everyone needs you to be Dory and to look like the boy next door. When do I get to be Dora again?
Ted couldn't answer that question. He looked quickly to Albus. As soon as we can, the older man smiled, but the false smile wasn't working on Dora.
But when? She insisted.
Before your 12th birthday, Albus said, and Ted winced. That was a lifetime to a little child. Sure enough, Dora's eyes grew to saucers.
But I'm only 5!
She squirmed out of her father's grip and stood, stubborn, her hands clenched into tiny fists at her side. Her hair, which had been mildly blue, was now shooting through colours: pink, red, orange, red, green, blue, purple, red, pink, turquoise, lime. "I won't!" she yelled. "I won't! I won't! I won't!"
"Edward, Andromeda," Albus said softly, "I need your permission to force a change and seal her, him." Ted shook his head, frowning at the use of his full name, a name that hadn't been used since his sorting many, many moons ago. "I won't. Let her have her moment." "Time," Albus hissed. "Time is of the essence, Edward. We've already lingered too long."
Andromeda nodded, placing a hand carefully on Ted's arm. "Let me handle this. I might have something." She didn't have anything but a wild card, but she agreed with her husband. Forcing their daughter to be a boy was worse than asking her to change and then forcing the change on her, or so she told herself. She was certain there was a fine line between the two, somewhere.
"Dora," she said firmly, "Dora, listen to me right this instant."
Dora clamped her fists over her ears. "I won't, I won't, I won't!"
"We have no time," Albus called. "Ted, Dromeda, I beg of you."
Dora was now on the floor, still screaming with her hands over her ears. Ted scrunched up in thought and finally yelled, "Dora, you change right this instant or else you're grounded for..." His mind blanked. He had no idea what number to suggest.
"3 months," Dromeda hissed after him.
Albus winced, but the little girl drew herself to her feet, fists still clenched. With an angry look at both her parents, she changed. Without a moment's hesitation, Albus pounced, sealing Nymphadora, Theodra Tonks, as Dory Jones.
"I want to be Dora again," Dory announced to his mother, who was weeding the garden, 2 weeks after they had moved. His mother looked up swiftly. "Dory Jones, what did we talk about?"
Dory glared. "I don't want to be the neighbour boy anymore. I want to be me again."
"We talked, sweetie. This is you."
But Dory was hearing none of it. "I won't!" he screamed. His face went purple as he concentrated hard. He could change back into Dora. He could. He'd been changing by himself since she was 4 and her evil aunt had kidnapped her, but not killed her because she saw her power. Dory had no aunts and no uncles. He had no relations but his parents. All of his grandparents were dead. But she had an evil family trying to kill her. While he was glad not to be having that, she also got to have magical powers. And quite frankly, he'd spent 2 weeks as a boy and was rather sick of it.
"I'm a girl! I'm a girl! I'm a girl!"
"Dory," his mother pleaded. "Dory, please, sweetie, you're not a girl."
"I'm a girl!" he screamed louder.
The neighbours were starting to watch. One of them, Mrs. Haddington, strolled over.
"Andrea, I've got tea company coming, and I can hear..."
She stopped once she heard exactly what Dory was screaming. "You know," she said, "your son was playing with Kathy's little girl and told her he was a girl too. Kathy's husband had a right fit. If he doesn't stop himself, people are going to wonder." Dory took this opportunity to stop screaming and look up at Mrs. Haddington.
"They made me be a boy," he said angrily.
His mother gasped. Mrs. Haddington went pale. "I didn't think they allowed hermaphrodites to live. I always thought it was more merciful."
"No, no," his mother said finally. "He's just confused."
"Well," said Mrs. Haddington, "you're only renting the place for the summer? I wouldn't recommend staying. We don't need his sort mixing with our children. They say homosexual tendencies can occur as early as 3. With that, Mrs. Haddington strolled off, meeting up with Mrs. Libby and Miss Bear. Dory's mother watched for a moment, then slumped her shoulders in resignation. "Come on," she said, holding a hand out to Dory. "Come inside."
"I'm a girl," Dory whispered once they were inside. "I'm a girl, and I know I am."
If there was one thing the child was, it was stubborn. That didn't change from Dora to Dory. He looked surprised, though, when his mother started crying.
"Mummy?" he asked. "Mummy, please don't cry. I'm sorry I'm a girl." and soon he was crying as well, deep heaving sobs that wouldn't abate no matter how hard his mother held him and told him that it wasn't his fault and that she was sorry. "You don't have anything to be sorry for, sweetie," his mother whispered. "Nothing to be sorry for at all. I'm sorry we did this to you, but we need to do this because of the war."
"Why?"
his mother sighed. "Oh, sweetie, I wish I could explain it to you. Do you remember the man who told you to change?"
Dory jutted out his jaw. "I don't like him."
His mother only nodded. "That's fair, and you don't have to like him, but until you see him again, you have to be Dory."
"Why?"
"Dory, not now," his mother groaned. "Please don't act like a normal 5-year-old. You're not a normal 5-year-old."
Dory seized on this with a surprising attentiveness. "Am I a girl, Mummy, or a boy? I mean, really, and not changed?"
"We can't talk about changing," his mother said softly. "It's against the rules."
"Why?"
His mother rolled her eyes. "The questions, Dory. Because they keep us safe." Dory didn't like this. He narrowed his eyes and clenched his fists. His mother, perhaps sensing he was going to go off into another fit, quickly took him into her arms again.
"Dory, I don't like it any more than you, but we need to follow the rules."
"But am I a boy or am I a girl?"
"A boy," his mother said firmly.
2 years passed, and Dory was a rather unremarkable 7-year-old boy. He flourished in maths, cared nothing for writing in any form, and loved advantage games, like chess. He played football, as all young schoolboys are wont to do, and, while not being remarkable at it, was far from terrible. He was, to the outside looking in, a typical British lad. But Dory Jones wasn't as satisfied as everyone else seemed to be. His parents seemed unconcerned with the secret he'd been living with for 2 years. He was jealous of the girls on his street, not because they were playing with dolls. He would much rather football than wrestle about with the boys, thank you very much. But they were perfectly allowed to like the colour pink. He was not. He settled on orange, finding it far closer than the colour red.
"Mum," he said casually one day, kicking his bright orange football between the chair legs, "Mum, sometimes I think I can feel things changing. They just aren't changing on the outside." He was nervous. He'd never brought up who he'd been before to his parents. They hadn't either, though his father used to pick him up and snuggle his neck, until a few months ago when Dory had protested, calling it far too girly. His father had been distant after that, and it confused Dory. So sometimes he tried to change himself, make himself more into what his father wanted.
"We don't talk about silly things like that, Dory," his mother exclaimed, laughing.
Dory skulked. "I used to be able. I know I did."
His mother only smiled. "Dory, you know the rules. Now go on and play." Playing was the furthest thing from his mind, and he hid out by the back door, waiting for his father to get home.
"Any news?" his mother asked in a hushed voice. Dory leaned forward as much as he dared. This was about him, and not even him, but about her. It sent shivers down his spine. He liked hearing news of her. She was special, and inside of him. And soon, maybe soon, he could get to be her again. Dora. He shivered again. He wasn't even supposed to think about that name. Nymphadora Theodra, who could wrestle with the best of them and still like the colour pink. And boys. Boys weren't gross, like the other girls thought. And sometimes he thought about the silly kissing games they played. He always had to kiss the girls, and it felt so wrong. So he'd been trying to change things, but whatever that old man had done to him, the name long since having escaped his memory, he couldn't change any more.
"Poor family, losing 2 sons like that." His mother's voice trailed off, and Dory bit the inside of his cheek. That's what he got for not paying proper attention.
"How's Dory?"
His mother didn't answer right away. She moved some dishes around first, and Dory frowned. His mother only did that when she was really upset about something.
"Andy?"
Dory's frown deepened. That hadn't been his mother's name either. It was Andrea now, and his father was Theodore, and Gift of God, Gift of the Nymphs. It was a father-son duo, his mother said to everyone who came to the house, but Dory never bought it. His father liked to joke that he had no part in naming his son, that he hadn't gotten to the delivery room fast enough. He's asking about changing. He's 7. We knew this was going to happen. I know, Ted. All the disappearances, all the deaths, and now Gideon and Fabian. We'd be sitting ducks if we went back. He'll be all right, Andy. The war can't last forever, and Albus... Aha! Dory thought. That was his name. The old man who he was going to hate for the rest of his days, even when he got to be her again. Now he'd missed the end of his father's comment, though, which was no real matter, as his father and mother were now discussing someone named Benji, and he'd lost interest. That was all they were going to talk about, him and her. Someday, he told himself softly, someday you'll get to be Dora again. In his 4th year, he started acting out. Maybe, he thought, maybe if he acted out enough, his parents would do something desperate, like allow him to be her again. They'd been talking, and he'd been listening, quietly. About how he wasn't growing as fast as he should, and how that was likely affected by not being her. But as he listened, he also realized there was nothing they could do. The only person who could make him Dora again was that man, Albus. But his parents wouldn't go to Albus. Someone named Dorcas had just died, and his parents were even more upset than they had ever been before. "Oh, but Sirius will be devastated," his mother sobbed, and he felt a little guilty for listening in on the conversation. "They were such a..." And his father laughed. "Oh, Andy, I think Sirius has had his eye on someone else for quite a while." The conversation had dwindled down into whispers, and Dory sulked along, wondering how bad he had to be before the war ended. Dora, Dora, Dora. It was his song, his hope, and he clung to it desperately. "Dory, you're so bright," his teacher scolded. "Why can't you put in the effort?" Effort. He put effort into other things, like changing back into her. He wasn't allowed to ask about it, and his parents had since stopped talking about it. After Dorcas, they'd gone really quiet about everything related to her life. But Dory pieced together what he knew. She'd been changed just after she'd turned 5. He was now 3 months into being 9, and the war didn't look like it was going to end any time soon. This was a different war. Not war like the Great War and World War II had been. There was no bombing of Britain or anything of the sort. There weren't trenches being dug. This was a secret war, a war from her world. A war that claimed lives all the time, it seemed, from the letters his parents got. They were secret letters that were burned soon after coming. He wanted to read one, if only for the silly little boy idea that maybe she would get mentioned in them. Or, at the very least, when he got to be her again. But they were letters of bad news, he knew. He could tell by the way his father looked up at him sadly. Did his father regret making him Dory? Did his father miss Dora? Did anyone miss Dora? Would anyone remember the little girl, almost grown up into a boy? He was still terribly short, but there was nothing anyone could do about it. It made him good at sneaking around and hiding in things. But there was more to playing than that. Sure, he was good with the boys, but he looked over at the girls, and he wondered if he was her, how much more he would want to do what they did. But even when he was Dora, he liked playing with the neighbour boy more than he liked playing with the neighbour girls. Being Dory made knowing what to want so confusing. He wished he had someone to talk about it, but his mother never liked him when he brought up Dora. He was too scared to bring her up with his father. Boys weren't supposed to do that. Boys were supposed to play catch with their fathers or football. He was pretty good at football, and could watch the games with his father and some of the other schoolboys. Everyone loved the Red Devils. Not Dory. He had a love for the Magpies, even if they didn't win nearly as many games. "That's silly," Derek, one of his friends, chided during a game. "Everyone knows if you live in this area you support the Red Devils. The fact they win a lot only helps." Dory was stubborn. "No, I like the Magpies. They're my team." And his father looked at him, smiled, and said, "That's my boy." And he glowed with pride for the rest of the day. It was a cool October night. Dory was doing his maths work when his father burst into the living room and tossed Dory into the air. It's over! His mother looked shocked. Ted? His father only laughed and laughed and laughed. It's over! He who must not be named has been defeated. Dead! We can go home again! You hear that? We can go home! The excitement was palpable, and Dory started laughing. I can be her again! But his mother was persistent. Ted, what happened? How is it over? Dory had been clinging tightly to his father, too old to be tossed, but just young enough to be swung in looping arcs around the room. His father set Dory down. Dory, go into the other room. Aren't we celebrating? Dory asked, his throat tightening. He could feel that panic rising, and he fought to push it down. They wouldn't do this to him. His father wouldn't do this to him. Come home and tell him he could be her again. He wouldn't. He loved Dory. Dory, his father said firmly, and Dory stamped his foot in defiance, but complied, leaning back against the wall once he was out of sight. They wouldn't, they wouldn't, they wouldn't, he chanted softly, unable to make out the words his father... No! His mother screamed, loudly and without taking a breath. Dory clamped his ears over his ears, held them there tightly, until his father came in and took them away. Daddy? Dory asked. Daddy? Your mother... The war is over. You'll get to be Dora as soon as we can meet Albus, but... His father swallowed, and Dory clenched his fists. You remember Sirius? When Dory nodded, his father continued. He did something very bad, and some people are dead because of it. Bad? He was supposed to keep three people safe, and he didn't, and two of them are dead. Good people? His father didn't answer, just kissed the top of his head, stood up and left. Dory sat there in the deafening silence until his legs twitched. The war was over. He could be Dora again. But the sound of his mother's screams still echoed in his ears, and he clamped his hands over them once more. He would have traded being her forever if it meant he didn't have to hear his mother's devastating and so brokenly scream. His mother was quiet for the next few days, and Dory was attuned enough to give her space. At every noise they both jumped, her for reasons he didn't understand, and he because he was hoping it was Albus. He was cruel, he knew, to still want to be her, especially because his mother suffered so much for it. Lily and James were the people that were dead, but a little boy was still alive. And that little boy was how Dory would get to be her again. The most crushing news, the news that Dory thought would break his mother completely, came with Albus 3 days later. Frank and Alice, the old man said quietly, and his mother went white, but did not scream. By Bellatrix's hand. His mother started shaking, but did not scream. His father took her by the hand, and they stayed there, pale, white, and mute, while Dory watched. I cannot stay long. I came only to change Dora. His mother nodded and pointed at him. She's, I don't even know, just there. Albus nodded and knelt down next to Dory, who was suddenly scared. He didn't know who he was supposed to be after being her. But he was brave, and he looked Albus in the eye. Albus smiled. You are a brave child, Dora. You've made a huge sacrifice to keep your family safe. Dory nodded. He wasn't her yet, but if the old man wanted to see him that way, so be it. You ready, Dora? Albus raised his wand, murmuring something, and a blue-purple light hit him in the chest. Then Albus smiled and disappeared. I can be... Dory trailed off, unsure of what to do. For the first time in 5 days, his mother smiled. Go ahead, sweetie. He closed his eyes and concentrated, and did not open them again until his father's arms were around him, and her father was sobbing, and she opened her eyes, and there she was, pink hair and everything. She grinned. Hi, Daddy. I missed you. 2 years after the war, and 2 years growing up with this stupid, strange body that she didn't know what to do with, and she could go to Hogwarts. She was never clumsy before. That is, he had never been clumsy, but she shook it off. She just needed to get used to this body, that was all. She stopped questioning things. Maybe it was being Dory, maybe it was her nature, but she wasn't going to wear dresses, no thank you. But still, there were other things she did, like wear her hair constantly pink. She liked the pink. Now she was hopping back and forth, from one foot to the other, listening to her mother, now back to Dromeda, rattle off last-minute instructions for Hogwarts. Let's see. Don't change unless the headmaster says it's okay. Write home often. Remember to eat well, and oh, don't kill yourself falling all over the place, her mother said, biting her lip. Dora rolled her eyes. Oh, Mum, please. I know I'm clumsy, but not devastatingly so. They'd embraced, and that had been that. Without a look back, she'd scurried on the train, finding an empty compartment to sit in. "In here!" someone shouted, not a few moments later. "Some girl! Whoa! Chow, you gotta see this! She has pink hair!" "What?" Two boys, one slightly older than the other, peeked in, looking excited. "Totally rad," the younger of the two said. "We can sit here, right?" Dora nodded, her cheeks flushed the same color as her hair. "I'm Dora. Dora Tonks." The older boy's eyes widened. "You're black." It wasn't meant as an accusation, but Dora took it as one. Lightning fast, she whipped out her wand. "Say that again!" The younger boy looked terrified. "You can use magic already." He half hid behind his older brother. "All right, keep your pants on," the older boy said. "Didn't mean nothing by it. I'm Bill, this is Charlie. We're Weasleys." Dora looked slightly confused. She sheathed her wand. "What's a Weasley?" Hogwarts was nothing she imagined it could be. The Sorting Hat had debated Gryffindor or Hufflepuff for her, and she wondered about her preference for looking better in yellow. Red, she thought, washed her skin colour too much and made it look like a ghost. But that could have been her pink hair bias as well. Nevertheless, the hat shouted out, "Hufflepuff!" for the whole school to hear, and there was cheering, and she scurried to her table. That had been the first night. Her friend Charlie had been in Gryffindor with his brother, and they saw each other for double herbology. It was easy to be friends with Charlie. They were both utter rubbish at herbology. The first 3 years passed in a whirlwind, and Dora never thought of him at all. "I think I'm not like other wizards," Charlie confessed to her early in their fourth year. Bill was the prefect on duty that night, so they didn't feel too bad sneaking out. "Not like them how?" Dora whispered. "I think I like boys." "Charlie, you do not." Charlie looked miserable as he nodded. "I thought I liked you, but I don't. I like boys. I mean, you're almost like a boy." That was all it took for her to think of him again. It wasn't fair. She liked Charlie a lot. But if he only liked boys... "Wanna know a secret?" She leaned close, close enough to smell the soap that he used. It smelled like soap and sweat right now. "I used to be a boy. I can be a boy again." Charlie's eyes widened. "You used to be a boy? Why?" And so Dora slowly and carefully told the story of Dory. As she spoke, she realized she missed him and everything he represented about herself. He played with the boys and no one questioned it. He didn't wear stupid fully dressed robes and no one questioned it. Well, he had never worn dress robes, but if he had, they wouldn't be the fully kind. Suddenly, questions she'd pushed out of her mind 5 years ago were coming flooding back to the surface. She could be him again, in secret. "I could be Dory and come visit you over the halls. I think my mum would be far less protective that way, and..." "Show me." It was a demand, not a question. But Dora acquiesced. When she opened her eyes, he bit his lip. "Well?" Charlie didn't answer, only leaned in for a kiss. It was his first kiss, and hers too, but he wasn't sure if she was going to count it. It was squishy and wet, but he wasn't complaining. The only thing he was unsure about was whether he liked Charlie. He thought that was only something she did, but it felt good, and Charlie smelled good in that weird way, and so he kissed back. "What are we doing?" he asked when they broke apart. "I don't know," a scared Charlie said. "I don't know. I should go. I'm sorry, Dora." He turned back, biting her lip as Charlie ran away. She didn't know if he was a she or a he anymore. They started dating the next year, after Dora failed to make prefect. Charlie was poised to become Quidditch captain the following year, on top of his prefect duties and girlfriend. To Dora, that would have been too much. But then again, Dora was juggling being Dora in the public and Dory when she was with Charlie. No one knew but them, and Dora understood how the arrangement worked. She got to sort out whether or not she liked being Dora or Dory better, and Charlie got to be beautiful and popular and have a cute girlfriend. What they did on their own time was of no one's concern. On their own time, she was Dory, black-haired, blue-eyed, and Charlie was crazy about him. "I don't know what to call you, ever," Charlie whispered to him one night, and she thought about it, staring up at the stars. Z scrunched up, here face. "Just call me Tonks, I guess." The name stuck, and because Charlie Weasley, man extraordinaire, called here that, so everyone followed. Truth be told, Z liked it better. It made here both her and him at the same time. It meant, for the time being, Z didn't have to choose so hard to be one over the other. Kissing Charlie as Tonks made it better in her eyes. Z wasn't him entirely, but Z wasn't just her either. Z could be both. Telling that to Charlie was difficult for here. What if Charlie only wanted to like him and was scared of liking here? "One day you'll have to choose," Charlie whispered to here, and Z nodded. Z knew. Eventually. But right now, arms wrapped around as much of Charlie as Z could manage, Z could be just Tonks, and no one would question any of it. His next words sent chills tingling down her spine. "I hope you choose Dory. I know we're young, Tonks, but I don't feel so lost without you. It feels right." Tonks nodded. "I like that it feels right." But Z bit her lip. Z wasn't sure anymore what Z wanted. Did Z want to give her up for Charlie? And why was it her that was always being called into question, asked to hide, asked to sacrifice? Z wanted, just once, just a tiny bit, for him to have to sacrifice something of himself. But Z couldn't tell Charlie that. Charlie was happy, and, truth be told, so was Z, in some regard. Z just looked at the girls, all jealous, and wondered what it was so bad that Z was jealous of. Z didn't want the daintiness that came with being a girl, the dresses, the gossip, the way too fluctuating emotions. But Z wanted something. Maybe one day Z'd put her finger on it. But for now, Charlie was happy, and Z liked her place in the world. As with Dory, when Z was just a boy, Z wished Z had someone to talk to about any of it. The summers Z liked. During the summer, it was here, Ted, Andromeda, and no one else. Her mother was still overprotective, but this summer, before sixth year, Tonks didn't mind it so much. During the summer, Z didn't have to worry about who or what Z was. During the summer, she was Dora, the apple of her father's eye and the bane of her mother's existence. "Dora, if you trip over my potting plant one more time..." And all Dora could do was laugh, because it was easy, and it was free, and it wasn't something Z questioned. But there was that small part of here that hated how Z questioned him. And Charlie was Quidditch captain and prefect and the most popular boy in the school now that Bill was gone. Tonks was simply his girlfriend. But, as with the previous year, under the cover of privacy, everything changed. Charlie wasn't Quidditch captain or prefect or the most popular boy in the school. He was just Charlie with his boyfriend. They were both pieces of themselves they dared not show. "Someday it'll work out," Tonks said, her hand hovering dangerously close to Charlie's boxer shorts. "Only if we tell them," Charlie said, looking here straight in the eye. "We could just go away and come back with Dory." With me. Tonks bit her lip, considering it. Go away for how long? Charlie smiled. I don't know. A few years. Your parents would understand, wouldn't they? My parents want grandchildren eventually, Tonks said, rolling her eyes. But Charlie's grin only got bigger. That's the beauty of it, Tonks. Leave after Hogwarts, come back with a baby. We can make everyone happy. Z didn't say anything, just ducked her head, finally pulling the fold of Charlie's boxes down. It wasn't enjoyable this time. The whole time Z was down there, with Charlie moaning and clenching his fists in her hair, it felt like there were tiny fists pounding on the inside of her brain. But what about me? Let me out! Once Z'd finished with Charlie, Z tucked her needs up, Charlie's strong hands on them, caressing them apart to return the favour. Tonks whimpered, and Charlie stopped. Tonks? I want to have sex, Z said, keeping her knees curled up. Charlie moved his lips, considering. Think we're ready? He finally said. I mean, not that I don't want to. I do. I just... Should we be? I want to have sex as Dora, Z said, her heart pounding. Charlie reeled back as though punched. Just the first time, Z corrected. Just the first time. I want her first time to be... Z trailed off, unsure. I want my first time to be with Dory, Charlie said, his voice tight. Tonks, please, for me? I already give up so much, Tonks said softly, her voice gaining ground as he continued to speak. Dory's never had to sacrifice anything. Neither of you, Charlie, so don't go pretending that you have. But Dora, she's giving up everything, and she's done it more than once, and quite frankly, she's sick of it. Charlie moved with surprising grace, wrapping his arms tightly around her. Tell me what you want, Tonks. I thought you were happy. I thought we were both so happy. I want to be with you, Tonks burst out, holding the tears in. She would not cry. He would not cry. Z would not cry. Did not cry. As Dora or Dory, Tonks? Charles pushed. And Z thought back to the summer, when Z was carefree, but part of her still hated questioning him. I don't know, Tonks said, frowning. Charlie responded by pushing against here, and Z responded likely as Charlie wanted here to. Charlie, Z whispered, trying to fight here rising hard on. Charlie, I don't know. It's okay, Charlie said. I have faith. Look, forget about sex for right now. We're both not ready, and you need time to let Dora and Dory figure it out. In that moment, lost in the lust of it all, Z sacrificed Dora once more, nudging Charlie's head down. And Dory closed his eyes, tried to push her down, make her go away. It was her that didn't make him happy. With her buried deep, he could be with Charlie and they could both be happy, and he'd never have to question anything again. Right? The first time they had sex, he was certain something would go wrong. Charlie was less sure, but still hesitant. He'd been working in the past few months, even over the summer holidays, pushing her down and away. Sure, he was Tonks in the daylight, in school, and to her friends, but any other time, and he was Dory, and he was his Charlie, and it was magical. And now, just before the winter holidays of the final year, they were going to have sex. I think we should have sex. Dory looked swiftly at Charlie. Really? Charlie nodded. I think we're ready to. Dory smiled. Yeah, I think me too. I mean, both of us. You, me. Oh, God. They both started laughing, which eased the tension. You should take top, Dory said shyly. I mean, if you want to. Charlie grinned. Yeah, I'd like that. You ready? Dory hesitated just a moment to see if she would protest. But there was silence, and he smiled, running his hands down Charlie's side across his pelvis and just barely teasing him. The rest was a blur of both exhilaration and nervous stumblings. Charlie had come quickly, Dory gripping the sheets tightly against the initial pain. The more he relaxed, the faster Charlie moved, and then it was over, and there were tangled limbs as Charlie desperately sought to pleasure Dory. And Dory, lying on his back, staring at the lush red canopy, thought he could get used to this. It wasn't until after Holes until seeing Charlie again that she flared up, poked at him, beat on the sides of his brain, and told him under no circumstances was he to have sex with Charlie until she had. He ignored her, pushing her down, and longed for a night alone with Charlie. Longed for laying on his back staring at the canopy and having everything be all right with the world. The second time they had sex, and the third, fourth, and fifth, were with Dory and Charlie. Everyone could tell, and teased them both, saying they had a glow. They asked him all sorts of questions about what he would do if Charlie played Quidditch, and he laughed them off, in a false laugh, the laugh of her, of Tonks. So the remainder of seventh year passed, with Dora tampered down tight. And any time she screamed to be let out, Dory sought out Charlie and asked for sex. It seemed as though neither boy could get enough of it. Maybe, he suggested one night when they were alone, maybe Dora could... Dory, Charlie said, frowning, I thought we were beyond her. And in a flash it was all back. Z swallowed. No, Charlie, not quite. Charlie ran a hand through his too long hair. I thought you liked being Dory. I do, Tonks said, unsure if Z was lying or not. But remember what I said, all those months ago? It's not fair to Dora that she always be the one, and why do I always talk about myself in the third person like this? It's not fair to me that I keep sacrificing something on my end. You're being selfish, Charlie. Can't you give something up just for a tiny bit? If you like being Dory so much, why does Dora even matter? Charlie snapped. Tonks looked like Z'd just been smacked. I don't know. You have it so easy. You know that? You know exactly what you are. You get to be popular and good at everything, and everyone fawns over you, and then you get to come back here with me and have a boyfriend, and no one needs to know. What do I have, Charlie? I have nothing. I don't even know what I want to do with my life. You've got it all mapped out. I am not a prefect. I have top marks, but not quite the top marks, on top of everything. And I'm trying to figure out what I am, but you talk me into pushing her down. All I've ever done is sacrifice that part of myself. I did it for 4 years growing up, and I do it with you because I like you. Both Dora and Dory, both pieces of me like you, Charlie. This isn't easy for me. You are being such a selfish jerk. What does Dora even have that you want? Charlie yelled back. You don't even act like a girl. You are so dense, Tonks screamed. Why can't you just give me this? As long as you can be Dory, why should I? Charlie challenged. You want that sort of thing? Fine, Tonks, but you won't get it from me. I'm not that boy. And I'm supposed to be that boy? Only with you? Their voices had dropped, but Tonks's tone was tight, ready to uncoil without a moment's notice. Maybe if we could be open about it, you'd be more okay with Dory, Charlie said. I mean, maybe that's the problem. Tonks bit her lip. I don't think so. I don't know. I just don't want to sacrifice her anymore, Charlie. Even if that means not being with you. What about her do you want so bad? Charlie was stubborn, and Tonks just sighed, knowing he wouldn't let it go until Z'd given some sort of answer. Tonks shook her head. I don't know. I really don't. But I was denied her for so long growing up. All I ever wanted and hoped for was to be here again. And even then, that was marred by Sirius's betrayal. And for a time, I thought maybe it was my fault for wanting to be her so bad, that my mother had sacrificed something to make it happen. And I thought, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to put that on someone or myself. Z sighed, her shoulders slumping. And then I met you and I pushed her down. But she just wants to be free. And I don't know, Charlie. I can't explain it. I really can't. I don't even know how to explain it to myself. But I can't keep her down. A part of me is Dora, and I shouldn't be hiding that.
So because you never got to have her growing up, you think you need to have her now? Charlie's voice was full of scorn, and Tonks's temper flared. I think because I sacrificed myself, not her, me, because I sacrificed myself so many times, I'm sick of doing it. Because you can only deny who you are so long. You just have the luxury of not denying who you are because of what I deny myself, and that's not fair. It's not fair long term, and it'll never work, and why can't you give me just one thing? Why can't you sacrifice one measly thing and have sex with Dora? Why is it always about you, or my parents, or what Ambus Dumbledore wanted? Why can't anything be what I want?
because you're the one who's been okay with all of this. You changed for me, remember? Don't sit here and victimize yourself when you chose to do this. You're not a fucking martyr. I'm not trying to be. Yes, you are, Charlie roared. Yes, you are. This isn't my fault. You changed to Dory and you were okay with it. You changed to Tonks and you were okay with it. You decided to give up Dora having sex. You chose that. I didn't have anything to do with it. You are unbelievable, Tonks screamed. I did this of my own accord? Like you weren't pressuring me all along? Like you would have been happy if I'd done anything but what I did? You did everything in your power to nudge me towards Dory, for your own sick, selfish reasons. If you cared about me, all parts of me, at all, you wouldn't have. Get out! Gladly! She considered, in those 2 weeks until they were done with school, telling everyone what Charlie was, but she couldn't. Because Tonks still cared about him quite a lot. Dory, for his credit, cared about him as well. Only Tonks was letting him go. And Dory had existed out of necessity for war and for Charlie. But Dory also forced the good parts of Tonks to hide deep down, and Tonks wasn't going to sacrifice those parts of her any more. They were worth showing. She could be klutzy and pink-haired and a tomboy. It was just confusing, trying to figure out what other pieces fit where without Charlie. He had been there for as long as Tonks could remember, and now they didn't speak, and the school, well, with the exception of Slytherin and a handful of claws, took sides. Tonks was surprised by her own popularity. Being so attached to the perfect and Quidditch god Charlie, she'd never really noticed that she'd developed her own friends before. But what did she have that people liked her for? She was nothing. She didn't even know what she was doing with her life in 2 weeks' time. She wasn't good at much of anything. She tripped over everything in sight. Why moving as Dory was easier, she still couldn't figure out, but likened it to having something to do with boobs. In fact, the only real thing she had going for her was her pink hair. But that wasn't it. After breaking up with Charlie, when she'd had her hair mousy brown, people still flocked to her, offering their sympathies. "You're loyal and smart and brave," Sprout told her one day after class. "You're sweet and kind and have a good sense of humour. You make people feel comfortable. You let them belong, regardless of who they are. You're very lucky, Nymphadora. Not many people can say that about their friends." She'd winced at Nymphadora, but didn't correct her head of house. She did like Tonks. Tonks could be anything she wanted to be, after all. She'd come to conclusion that Dora was the little girl she never got to be, the girl she never could be. Like Dory, Tonks was letting Dora go. But does that mean Charlie is a sport pro, head boy and very much like his brothers. That isn't to say that his friends aren't genuine, just that you earned yours in a different way. "Yeah," Tonks said, twisting her finger on the dirty herbology table. "He's got it all figured out, though. All he has to do is go play Quidditch, and he's got it made with friends and fans and the like." She swallowed. "If I don't do something amazing..." "Your friends will stick by you. Don't try to outshine him, Nymphadora. You're too smart for that. Your friends love you for being everything I just told you that you were. They don't love you because you sparkle in the sun." Tonks laughed and nodded her head. She understood. Rather, she understood where her head was going. She didn't quite accept what Sprout was saying. Sprout nodded. "Now, I have a friend, Elmerson, at the Ministry. He's in charge of hiring Aura interns. You're rubbish at herbology, but I've spoken with your other professors, and we think you'd make a fine placement in the Aura program." "Aura?" Tonks took a step back, knocking over a bag of dirt. She winced. "I don't think I'd do very well at that, seeing as I trip over everything." "They'll train you," Sprout said. "Now I've kept you too long. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon for your Newton Herbology. Why you've stuck with the class is beyond any of us. But think about the Aura program. He'll be owling you after your exam results are in."
"Aura," Tonks said softly, smiling at Sprout.
"Yeah, all right. Thanks."
It came as a shock to the entire school, especially McGonagall, when Charlie walked out of the school, rucksack in one hand, wand in the other, after sitting his last final. Tonks only smiled, stroking the owl that had just delivered a letter from Elmerson. Aura. and Charlie could fuck off. The end.